Hello, I'm here with Sean Kubara, is your name? Sean Kubara, welcome to scan.org for NIM FM. My name's Martin, welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
I wanted to ask you, you're playing tonight on the stage.
Uh-huh.
All right, well, looking forward to that act. I hope we get a good recording then. So, you tell us where you come from.
Originally, Townsville is where I'm from, and my parents are from a small community 60 k's off the coast of Townsville, Palm Island, and my dad's people are from Tully area, and my mum's father's from Cape York, and my mum's mother's from the Gulf or Carpentaria.
Right.
But I live in Sydney now. I've been living there the last 13 years here. Yeah.
So you're on the tour then, in other words?
Yeah.
You're up here for a tour?
Yes, yeah, so I got a couple of weeks at Brisbane and a couple of comedy gigs at Brisbane Casino, Gold Coast Casino, and Byron Bay tonight, Bowls Club, yeah.
Wonderful. Well, we'll look forward to the show, I guess. We'll leave it short and sweet. You got an email address people can send you a message or can ask you more details or something?
Yep.
You want to speak it on?
Okay, it's team, jilkamu, J-I-L-K-A-M-U, at yahoo.com.au. And if they have any good stories or yarns, they want to email me and, you know, and share it with me, yeah.
Well, excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's my mom. She said, no mobile. I said, yeah, we mobile people. You know what I walk about? And it was funny because she said to me, she goes, you know, one thing I noticed about you black people, you age gracefully, you know. You know, you look young and all, you know. She said to me, do you use all of you land? And I said, it's my land. She goes, oil of my land. I said, ain't your land, it's my land. I said, no, sister, we're in a time of reconciliation and harmony and all that kind of stuff. It's oil of our land. She goes, so which product do you use? Oil of your land, oil of my land, oil of our land? She was really confused by that. No, but I was thinking, we could all probably get along, wouldn't we, if we didn't talk about politics, religion, or racism, anything like that. And I remember my first introductory to politics was when my granddad took me out to my homelands. And he's saying, "Nana, my brother, go put on your meeting and up." And he's like a wise old man, my old granddad. And basically, what he was saying was, "Look out there at your forefather's country. One day, you won't own that anymore." And it's funny because and that was my first introductory to politics. But you know, after that, my granddad took me fishing, and we were crabbing, you know, and he caught this little crab. And the fisheries department came around the corner, you know, and they go, hey, excuse me, old man, that crab you've got, it's undersized, it's too small, you know. And then my granddad said, oh, no, it's my pet crab. And I said, well, if it's your pet crab, prove it. He goes, well, I'll put him in the water, have a little swim around and that, and the crab will swim around. And the fisheries department said, you know, when's that crab coming back? He reckons, what crab? It's funny too because, you know, I'm Aboriginal, I was born Catholic, my boss is a Jew, you know, my count's Muslim, you know, I met the Dalai Lama, made me an honorary Buddhist, and since then, I've become a born-again savage. But I was thinking about, racism, you know, and racism is funny because when I was growing up with my best white friend, you know, my good white friend, you know, when I was growing up, I didn't know what racism was. You know, my white friend said to me, Sean, are you a racist? And I said, no, I just run fast. And my good white friend, he got me my first ever job interview. And just before I went into the boss's office, my good white friend said, just tell him you've got a good tan. I said, okay, I didn't even know what a tan was. I opened the boss's door and he goes, can you start tomorrow? I said, yes, I can. And I said, oh, by the way, I've got a good tan. He said, you shouldn't have to tan yourself, you're already black. And it's funny because then he asked me, he said, so you know, where are the working conditions and all that? And he goes, so temporary perm? And I said, well, thank you very much for noticing. It's actually a natural. And I was, but I was thinking about, you know, racism. Like when I was growing up, you know, we moved out of an industrial town, but we lived where it was all bush and scrub and all that. And we moved out of there and moved into middle class suburbia. And right next door to us was this rich white flash family. And I think they might have been Germans or something like that, because they owned that Schwarzkopf shampoo and all that kind of stuff. And their surname was Ippi, you know, it sounded German to me. But anyway, after a couple of weeks we moved in there, they built this really high fence. And it was high too, and I just assumed, you know, because we kept hitting the cricket ball over the yard and all that kind of stuff, you know. And it was funny because they had a daughter who was around my age. And she, you know, was going crazy for me. She was in love with me. And I didn't know, you know, I didn't understand. I did not understand that she was suffering from jungle fever and all that kind of stuff. And it's funny because my white friend, he had a crush on her. But he didn't realize she preferred her toast a little burnt. And it's funny because one morning I went downstairs early in the morning. I walked out, you know, looked out my backyard. And I noticed the next door neighbor's dog was dead in our backyard. I said, oh my God, Ippy's dog is dead. You know, so I ran over to the high fence. I said, Mrs. Ippy, you know my next door neighbor? Mrs. Ippy. She goes, yeah. I said, your puppy dog is dead in our backyard. She goes, that's okay, Sean, can you bury it in your yard? I said, wow. These rich, white, flashy people allow me to bury their dog in my yard. It's like, honor. So I ran upstairs. And it was about 6:42 in the morning. I ran upstairs and woke my mama. I was like, Mama, wake up. You are not going to believe this. Ippy's dog is dead in that backyard. And Mrs. Ippy said, I can bury it in that yard. Mama, yeah, please. And my mom woke up like that and she was going to like, hell, chuck that mongrel over fence. I had to pick up that dog and I was working out. You know, over the fence. And it was funny because, you know, and later on I saw Mrs. Ippy, you know, digging a hole for that poor old dog. And I didn't realize it was a diabetic dog. And I didn't want to bring it up at the funeral for that dog, you know. Didn't want to bring up at the funeral that, the day before I was eating, you know, the old chocolate bar chomp. And the dog was hanging around me, hey, once I'm home, hey, you ate all that too much. And I didn't realize it was a diabetic dog. I didn't want to bring it up at the funeral, you know. It was a very boring funeral, too, for that dog, too, you know. Well, you could have livened up with a bit of music and guitaring and all that kind of stuff, yeah. And it's funny because in the neighborhood, I think all the animals in our street had bad luck. Because next door to us, they had all these birds, and one day all these birds just mysteriously flew away one day. I don't know if it had anything to do with us having 17 cats or anything like that, but it's funny because one of our cats got attacked by the dog across the road, and the dog across the road bit one of our cats on the ass and bit his ass was all mangled and sore, and the fur was coming off his ass, and the tail was about to come off, and all that kind of stuff. And my mom said, oh, Sean, that cat don't look too good. You better do something about the cat. And I said, all right, come on, kitty. And we had to keep it simple, too, having 17 cats. Come on, kitty, let's go for a ride. I took kitty out for a ride. I took ride out of town. There you go, kitty. Sorry about that. And I took her back home. I got all the way home, and there was Kitty playing around the yard. I thought, that Kitty. Gee, this cat fast. Next day, come on, Kitty, let's go for a ride again. I took Kitty right out of town, dropped Kitty off again. I'm sorry, Kitty, and I went back home. When I got home, who was there waiting? Kitty. Kitty was waiting. I thought, that's it. This cat too smart. You know, I thought, come on, Kitty, I'm going to take you again for a ride. I went down this street, down that street. I went around about a couple of times and confused that cat. Dropped that cat off. Sorry, Kitty, and I took off again. Then I forgot which way I came. And it started getting dark, and black people would get frightened in the dark too, you know, we get nervous. I had to ring up my mom. I said, Mama, I'm lost. And she goes, you should follow Kitty home. And some people, you know, like normally when I finish a show, I forget all about it, and some person pulled me up on the street one day and I said, hey, what happened to Kitty? And I never thought about adding it to the end of my story, you know. I just really stayed on to another story about our big old heavy dog at home that we had for like 37 years or something like that. And then dog years, it's like 198 years. I like the oldest dog, but it's huge too, you know. When I take it for a walk, you know, it's massive, you know. And when people ask, what kind of dog is it? I was like, I don't know, a fat dog. I think it's huge. What happened to Kitty, if you're asking? It's funny because our granddad was very knowledgeable. You know, he used to always talk about the medicines and in the bush and all that. And later on, we saw him Kitty eating. You know, we didn't worry about all that kind of stuff. You know, we were worrying about electric boogaloo back then. And there was Kitty in the backyard eating giddy grass. And I thought, hey, that cat knows bush medicine. Later on, all that fur grew back out. Beautiful ass in the end. Yeah, not for Kitty. Should have insured it for $2 million, but I was thinking, you know, and my mother, she was very concerned about our big old heavy dog that we had for 37 years and dog years, 198 years old, whatever it is, yeah, And you know, it's like an old companion, you know, and the dog, boom, he hit the TV one day, and, you know, walking in the fridge and walking to the wall, he don't know where he's going, and my mama said to me again, I don't know what, she must think I'm a veterinarian or something like that, she said, John, I think you better do something about that dog, something wrong when you keep banging on the TV, and I can't watch that TV and all that kind of stuff, yeah? So I thought, that's it, I'm going to take that dog, come on, big dog, and I took it down the road to the vet, and the vet picked up the dog, he looks at the dog, and look at his face, he reckon, I know what's wrong with this dog, it's blind, I'm going to have to put it down. I said, put it down because it's blind, Eric, and now put it down because it's heavy. But I was thinking, speaking of dogs and all that kind of stuff, you know, the first time I moved from Townsville all the way down to Sydney, I was at the Glebe Markets. And the Glebe Markets is a beautiful market because it's full of hippies and ferals and all that. And I love all that because we're like one people, I'm Aboriginal and they're feral Aborigines. But anyway, and I'm walking around this hippie market and this hippie girl came running up to me and she goes, I noticed you're Aboriginal. I said, yes, sister, what's wrong? She goes, I've got this little dingo. She had a little dingo puppy following around the market. She goes, I've got this little dingo puppy here. And I said, and she goes, I wanted you to give it an Aboriginal name, like a real spiritual. I said, yes, from now on you're going to know that little dingo as Ladji. She goes, wow, what does Ladji mean? I said, little dingo puppy. She took over that little dingo skipping around the market. I sort of walked away a bit guilty feeling, because I didn't really have a spiritual name for that dog at all because I was thinking of Lassie. But it could have been worse. It could have been worse. I could have said, you want a real African name for that dingo? We'll call it Ernie. And it's funny because I said that to Ernie Dingo, and you know what Ernie said to me? Get away. And I said, hey, I said, Ernie, you want to great outdoors? And he said, I know, you heard me, get away. All kind of games or somebody get hurt. And I noticed a couple of beautiful women out there. There were so many gorgeous women out there, you know. I was thinking, they're looking at me and thinking, hey, you look like an ex-model in me back in these days. And that's true, your sister's out there. And I noticed you noticed me too, and I'm looking at these too, and all that kind of stuff. And it's funny because when I was doing a bit of modeling back in town, it was funny because the girls up home, they're very shy. They're, you know, very country, you know. They're not like the most prestigious catwalkers gone too. And when those girls would be walking on the catwalk, this is how they used to do it. And that's how they did it. But when I came along that catwalk, I knew what I was doing, because when I done it, I had a lot of confidence. You know, it's funny because anyone think we're modeling for Giorgio Armani or Calvin Klein or something like that. You know, it's funny because we're only doing Kmart and Best and Less brochures. And I was like at the modeling agency, you know, dating a girl, you know, and never get the bread, you know. They used to have this whole saying at the modeling agency, and it was like, you know, don't get the bread where you get your meat, and all that kind of stuff, you know. And I thought, that was people to say, but I started dating one of the models, and they're great to take out these models, you know. They're great to take out, and I thought, you know, and they're cheap too, you know, don't need to eat much, and all that kind of stuff. I took out everywhere, and I thought, you know, that's it, I'm going to take out some exclusive lavish, I'm going to take it dancing. And we were only 14 years old at the time. And I thought, where can I take some exclusive, lavish nightclub? And I thought, that's it, the local Blue Light Disco. Now, who here remembers those Blue Light Disco? Raise your hand, can I see all the hands? All the hands, eh? All the hands, well, keep them up there. I want to have a quick look at all the hands, eh? Are we able to get a house light, this pretty house light, or are we allowed that, or we run up the electricity bill, or we can't do that, or we can't do that? I'm not sure, yeah? A little bit hard because everyone's looking black out there, yeah? And hey, beautiful people. Raise your hand if you're gorgeous and you went to Blue Light Disco. Raise your hand. Yeah, let me see all these beautiful people, yeah? Let me see. Oh, yeah, we got all these beautiful people here. Sister girl, right here. Come up here. I want to just ask you one Blue Light Disco question. This girl right here, come up here, sister girl. Everyone give her a round of applause. Ah, yeah. What a beautiful woman. I'm going to help you up this step, yeah? How you going, sister girl? How you going? What's your name? Annie. There you go, Annie. Annie, are you okay? Yes, only you come on, guys. Blue Light Disco joke, hey, remember? Annie, are you okay? Are you okay? You know, we'll start going on the dance. Remember that? Yeah, okay. Annie, remember remember at the Blue Light Disco, I remember, you know, always, there was always at the Blue Light Disco like a cute boy dance around that we always wanted. No, maybe not we, you, stop. That we want, yeah, that you wanted to dance with. Was there ever like a cute boy dance around and had all the moves and that, and you know, wanted to have a dance with him? Yeah, there was always. Do you remember his name? Kevin. Oh my God. Annie, you are not going to believe this, but Kevin is here tonight. Kevin, come here, Kevin. Come over here, Kevin. Look at Kevin here. It's been a long time. Come over here, Kevin. Oh, look at Annie and Kevin. Reunited, and it feels so good. Yeah. Come over here, Kevin. I want to talk to you, Kevin. Now, Kevin, you know, all she wanted was a dance with you at the Blue Light Disco, but now you're out there with your fancy foot and loose and dancing, moving and stepping, all that kind of stuff. And we thought we were going to have this moment right here at Byron Bay Bowls Club. I know she happily married and you obviously moved on and all that kind of stuff. But we're going to allow. We need some closure here. And I thought we're going to allow this magical moment of Annie having that Blue Light Disco dance with you. We're going to take you back to, come over here, Annie, a little bit, yeah? I'm going to move this cable over here. Have we got some Blue Light Disco music, yeah? Let's run a bit of Blue Light Disco music. Come on, everyone. Clap for Kevin and Annie. Oh, how good was that? How did that feel? It felt fantastic. And I was thinking, you got some nice, beautiful moves out there. I was noticed that. And he was swinging you like back in 1994 or something like that. And I was thinking, you know, remember when Madonna first came? Remember all the girls were trying to dress and look like Madonna with all them bangles, all them necklaces, all that kind of thing. Were you ever one of those girls? No, me too. But anyway, I was thinking. But it's funny because as soon as Madonna used to try and dance, wouldn't they try and dance on Madonna too? As soon as, I want you to put your hands on here, because I'm going to show you how a real woman, I mean a real man dance now. I want you to put your hands on here, and whatever I do, I want you to follow me. We got some Madonna there? Oh yeah, you got it there. I want you to swing your hands on here. Come on everyone, clap your hands. Well, that's a beautiful man. Let's pan it around, yeah? Let's lift that hair up. Put your hands together for Annie, everybody! Yay! Ah! How good was that? That has got to be the best. Oh, that has got to be the best. Madonna, Madonna. You know, it's funny because every time I was allowed to go to the Blue Light Disco, my mom would always give me a job to do, you know, maybe take animals out, or I don't know, and things like that. And I would say, Mama, I'm going to Blue Light Disco. Mom would say, get back here and cut up some onions. I said, Mama, I can't be cutting up. I said, I got to go to Blue Light Disco. Grandma said, Blue Light Disco. Mom would say, go look in the top drawer for those big old glasses I keep in the kitchen for cutting up onions so you won't burn your eyes. So I would go look in the kitchen for those big old glasses. Cutting up onions. I said, Mama, I'm finished cutting onions. I'm going to Blue Light Disco. Mama said, get back here and scrubble them pots. I said, Mama, all them pots are all burnt. And you got no steeler. And my mom would say, well, why don't you put on that steeler glove now? I would put on that steeler glove. Scrabbling pots, brain spanking clean. I said, Mama, I'm going to Blue Light Disco. And every time I went to that Blue Light Disco, I always had to wait till my granddad fell asleep so I can go and steal his old man's hat. Now, my granddad was a wise old man. Hang on the hands. And he lived a dream. He lived a dream. Why don't you go hands? Now, when they call you hand, your hand is just going and scratching the mixer there, brother. Let's do it then. Let's do it then, hands. Yeah? You put your trigger happy fingers to it. Let's go. funny, it's funny because they recognize just like Michael Jackson too if I was white, but I was actually back in those days, back in the early 80s days, I wasn't really in a Michael Jackson. I was actually hanging out with my break dancing crew called the Electric Boogaloos. Remember this? So check this out. Maybe Australia's going, well, let's see if we can put these fellows to sleep. But I was thinking on another thing, you know, since it's, Valentine's and all that, I remember when I first, anyone in love here?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm actually, I only hear a couple of people, and, you know, up here on stage, I feel a lot of love out there. Is anyone in love out there? Love or a man to love. We love everything. We love life, the bees, the water. We live there. Yeah, love our freedom and things like that. And I was thinking about, you know, when I first fell in love, you know, with my woman, I said to her, you know, I said, what do you want from me? And she goes, I want children. I said, that's okay. I got 5 already. I said, what else you want? It's funny because I said, what else you want? And I, yeah, she got one in car, and I said, well, you can have my old Chrysler Valley, and you can have that. And, you know, I said, yeah, what else you want, woman? You know, I'll give you anything. She goes, I want a mansion. I said, a mansion? She goes, yes, I want a mansion. I said, woman, you already got a mansion. You actually have like a big chin like a man. And you know what? I miss that mansion. I haven't seen that mansion for a long time. But I miss it. It's funny because, I actually got public kids. I got two that I know. I've got beautiful children. And I was thinking, yeah, I was actually playing I Spy with my children, you know, and it was my turn, and my daughter, you know, my daughter said, your turn, Dad. I said, well, I Spy my little life, so I'm beginning with H. And my daughter said, Dad, that's easy. I said, what is it? And she began, hostel. I said, yeah. I said, you got that straight away. I said, can you play that game, I Spy with white children? You said a little H, they'll come out, hippopotamus, helicopter, all this other kind of H word. But you play with a black kid, they'll come out, hostel, because they know that's where Daddy go when Mommy kick them out. Funny because, you know, my son, he was mucking around one night, you know, he's cruising around and he's loud and all that, and I thought, yeah, I'm going to have to discipline this kid. I thought, that's it, I'm not going to hit him because, you know, you hit your children, you get in trouble. And I've never had to do that, you know, because I like to tell him an old Dreamtime story, a very scary one, and I'm scared of hell out of you. And I was thinking, and my son was mucking around, I said, hey, don't muck around, you know. I said, you keep mucking around, the Gwinkin will come and get you. He's like, no, Dad, don't tell the Gwinkin. And we get a mulling of being ghosts, and I said, well, go to bed. I went straight to bed. I didn't have to tell him 600 million times or anything. Next day, my son goes to school. He came home from school. He said, Dad, I was a good kid today. Don't tell the jum-jum. I said, where did he get that name from? Well, I thought, well, I live in Sydney, a multicultural country, maybe picking up language from other kids and so on, you know? And then it occurred to me where he got that name from, jum-jum. I remember one night, it was a Friday night, I was watching TV, and they put on this horror movie. And I was, like, too scared to watch it myself. So I made my son watch it with me. And it was that old horror movie from the 70s. You know that one, Psycho? You knew the music from it? Jun, 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 Jun. And that's where he got the name Jun Jun from. And it's funny because in my house, we don't even say Gwinkin anymore. We say Jun Jun. And it's funny because we've been saying Jun Jun for 8 years now, and I could just see, you know, in the next 100 years, I'll be rewriting an Aboriginal dictionary. Jun Jun means ghost. And I was thinking about many things. And, it was funny because speaking of love and Valentine's and all that kind of stuff, and, I saw my brother. It's funny because my brother, we didn't realize our brother was smoking dope until our garden hose started getting shorter and shorter and shorter. Like, one day, I'm watering the plants. And I'm there, I'm sure this hose used to be longer than this. Trying to water those pawpaw trees over there. And it's funny because my brother, he smoked that one yandy. We call it yandy. He smoked that much yandy that it affects his everyday business. Like, one day, he went to the supermarket, he bought bread, milk, and a pack of noodles. You know, when you buy bread, milk, pack of noodles, you can carry that stuff with your hands, can't you? But the shopkeeper was being courteous, polite. You have to imagine what the shopkeeper looked like. His hair was all messy. His eyes were tired. Might have been on early morning, like, no, she was, I don't know. And he looked at my brother and he was going, do you want a bag? My brother couldn't believe what he heard. Well, you got some. Shopkeeper was, yeah, I'm going to eat them. Oh, shopping bags. Now it's like Al Cody, they bad for the environment. And it's funny because, he was that high one day, he started hallucinating. You know, the next neighbors were bad toast, you know, because that was their preference. He was freaking out. He was freaking out, so he rang up Triple O. And Triple O said, what do you want, the fire brigade, the police, or the ambulance? He said, give me the fire brigade. He quickly rings up the fire brigade. Quick, quick, you better get in. My next door neighbor's house is burning down. And the fire brigade said, well, how did we get there, mate? He reckon, why don't you drive that big red truck anymore? Then he reckons, what's black? And hangs up and hung up on him. And it's funny because we used to, we couldn't understand out of all the subjects in school, you know, why he was only good at mathematics. Like, he would come home with his homework and say, Mama, if I subtract 28 grams from an ounce, what am I left with? And Mama would always help me out. So my mama, you know, she always help us kids out. But, you know, she's very old, too, my mama. She's like a really old school kind of lady. And it's funny because one day she went in the store, you know, one day, and she said to the butcher man, oh, can I have a pound of sausage, please? And he goes, no, they call them kilos. Now they call kilos, they'll give me a pound of kilos. And, you know. You know, like one day, I just recently was up there up in Townsville. I saw my brother and all that, and it's funny because, you know, before she got saved by the butcher, she was standing in the other queue, and there's a few queues there, and this lady said, oh, why don't you stand in the 5 queue? And she said, hey, 5 queue, I've been here all night. I'm not going to talk about that, but I want to talk about my brother since it's all Valentine and love and all that kind of stuff, yeah? And there's my mom out there finally, man, I was thinking, you know, and... And I saw my brother, he was a little upset, you know, he's a little upset, and I just thought, well, you know, I said, what's wrong with your brother? He said, you know, my woman, my wife, and I said, yeah, I know, your wife, she's my sister-in-law, and I said, what happened? He goes, she left me. I said, your woman left you? And he goes, yes, she left me, and she took the car. What? She took the car, too? Yes, she took the car as well, she left me, she took the car, and this was my exact way. I said, brother, don't worry, everything's going to be all right. You know what you've got? You've got no woman, no car. We're going to do a little song for my brother tonight. And if you have real dreads out, I want you to swing it around. Come on, everyone. Clap your hands. Come on. All the love in the house. Come on. Come on. Now start repeating after me. Everyone start singing. Everything's going to be all right. Say, everything's going to be all right. Over here. Everything's going to be all right. Say, at the back. Everything's going to be all right. Over the back. Everything's going to be all right. Down the front here. Everything's going to be all right. Keep it clapping. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Check it. I remember when my brother had my Ford Falcon sedan. Just walks around and catches that bastard town. Whoa, hey, nigga. Good women we had, good women we lost along the way. In this bright future, you can forget your past. So all you men out there, dry your tears and start singing with me. All the men sing. Say no. Woman, no car. Louder, guys. Come on, sing along. Sing it. Say, no. Oh, woman, no car. Come on, now, over this side. Say, come on. Say, no. Oh, woman, no car. Over this side, too, yeah. Come on. Say, no. Oh, woman, no car. And this is what he said to it. He said this. Here, little sister, just take my keys and get the hell out of here. Now, all the women start singing this, right? Come on. Everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be alright, because it should be, because you got the car, yeah? Alright then, everything's gonna be alright. Thank you very much, everyone. My brother's alright now, he's got a man now. But anyway, thank you very much, Byron Bay. You're a beautiful crowd, beautiful people, yeah?
Okay, well, I'd like to, I'm Shawnee Chulbra, and I'd like to give a big hello and a big shout out there to all the people in Nimbin and all, on Bundjalung Nation, and stay deadly.
Mandy, good evening. Wasn't that fantastic, Mandy?
Oh, it was fantastic. Had a great time. Thanks, Martin. It's always a bit, it's a buzz, and this is like saying hi to Nimbin, is that right?
Yeah, you'll become a passive smoker if you say too much.
It's never passive, it's always slightly active. But it's lovely to, it's nice to say hello out there to Nimbin. I love Nimbin, it's great. Nimbin, I think, has got, I've done quite a few of the cabarets with David
Yeah,
and I'm always amazed at the incredible huge crowd that comes out.
Well, it's not nothing that's happening.
Is that what it is? I think it's like 400 people. I did a women's ski there, a domestic violence gig, and it had 200 people there. It was packed. I said, that's extraordinary. So if we can get the kind of grassroots community going in Byron Bay again, Nimmin's become a little bit of like a leading light in community compared to what's happening here these days. Don't tell anyone, they'll move in.
We're just short of funds.
That's true.
There was a great performance.
Thank you, Mandy. Thank you for the show. I'll ring you.
I'll just direct.